Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Canto 2, Chapter 6, Text 21, Purusha Sukta Confirmed. Oops, I think this is not the one. Not the right.
Text 21, yes?
21? Yeah? Oh, wait, I think it's not this one. I'm not sure. 21, or I think it's one. You sure?
No.
No.
Chapter 6, text
23. Yeah. Okay. Yadasya nabhyan nalinad. Aham
yadasya nabhyan
nalinad
yadasya nabhyan
nalinad
yadasya nabhyan nalinad
aham asam mahatmanah
aham
asam mahatmanah Navidam yagya sambharan.
Navidam yagya sambharan.
Purushavayavan rite. Purushavayavan rite. Yadasya nabhya nalinad.
Yadasya nabhya nalinad.
Aham asam mahatmanah.
Aham asam mahatmanah.
Navidam yagya samparan.
Navidam yagya samparan.
Purusha vayavan rite.
Purusha vayavan rite.
Okay. So word for word is yada.
Yada.
At the time of.
At the time of.
Asya.
Asya.
His.
His.
Nabhyat.
Nabhyat.
From the abdomen.
From the abdomen.
Nalinat.
Nalinat.
From the lotus flower.
From the lotus flower.
Aham.
Aham.
Myself.
Myself.
Asam.
Asam.
Took my birth.
Took my birth.
Mahatmanaha,
Mahatmanaha,
of the great person,
of the great person.
Navidam,
Navidam,
did not know,
did not know.
Yagya,
Yagya,
sacrificial,
sacrificial.
Sambharan,
Sambharan,
ingredients,
ingredients.
Purusha,
Purusha,
of the Lord,
of the Lord.
Avyavan,
Avyavan,
personal bodily limbs,
Rite,
except.
Except.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. When I was born from the abdominal lotus flower of the Lord, Mahavishnu, the great person, I had no ingredients for sacrificial performances except the bodily limbs of the great personality of Godhead. Please repeat. When I was born, from the abdominal lotus,
from the abdominal lotus flower,
of the Lord,
Mahavishnu,
the great person.
Great person.
I had no ingredients.
I had no ingredients
for sacrificial performances.
For sacrificial performances.
Except the bodily limbs.
Except the bodily limbs
of the great personality of Godhead.
Of the great personality of Godhead.
Purport. Lord Brahma, the creator of the cosmic manifestation, is known as Svayambhu, or one who is born without father and mother. General process is that a living creature is born out of the sex combination of the male father and the female mother. But Brahma, the firstborn living being, is born out of the abdominal lotus flower of the Mahavishnu plenary expansion of Lord Krishna. The abdominal lotus flower is part of the Lord's bodily limbs, and Brahma is born out of the lotus flower. Therefore, Lord Brahma is also a part of the Lord's body. Brahma, after his appearance in the gigantic hollow of the universe, saw darkness and nothing else. He felt perplexity, and from his heart he was inspired by the Lord to undergo austerity, thereby acquiring the ingredients for sacrificial performances. But there was nothing besides the two of them, namely, the personality of Mahavishnu and Brahma himself, born of the bodily part of the Lord. For sacrificial performances, many ingredients were in need, especially animals. The animal sacrifice is never meant for killing the animal, but for achieving the successful result of the sacrifice. The animal offered in the sacrificial fire is, so to speak, destroyed, but the next moment it is given a new life by dint of the Vedic hymns chanted by the expert priest. When such an expert priest is not available, the animal sacrifice in the fire of the sacrificial altar is forbidden. Thus, Brahma created even the sacrificial ingredients out of the bodily limbs of the Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, which means that the cosmic order was created by Brahma himself. Also, nothing is created out of nothing, but everything is created from the person of the Lord.
The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text 8, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate. Quote, everything is made from my bodily limbs, and I am therefore the original source of all creations. The impersonalists argue that there is no use in worshipping the Lord when everything is nothing but the Lord himself. The personalist, however, worships the Lord out of a great sense of gratitude, utilizing the ingredients born out of the bodily limbs of the Lord. The fruits and flowers are available from the body of the earth, and yet Mother Earth is worshipped by the sensible devotee with ingredients born from the earth. Similarly, Mother Ganges is worshipped by the water of the Ganges, and yet the worshipper enjoys the result of such worship. Worship of the Lord is also performed by the ingredients born from the bodily limbs of the Lord, and yet the worshipper, who is himself a part of the Lord, achieves the result of devotional service to the Lord. While the impersonalist wrongly concludes that he is the Lord himself, the personalist, out of a great gratitude, worships the Lord in devotional service, knowing perfectly well that nothing is different from the Lord. The devotee, therefore, endeavors to apply everything in the service of the Lord, because he knows that everything is the property of the Lord, and that no one can claim anything as one's own. This perfect conception of oneness helps the worshipper in being engaged in his loving service, whereas the impersonalist, being falsely puffed up, remains a non-devotee forever without being recognized by the Lord. Om Agyanati Minandasya Ankinanjana Salakaya Chaturun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatan Pitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitam Nuscha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Kopesha Kopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchan Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanesvari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Paramami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhuvevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Sri Vasari Gopakaranda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, this is a little intricate, the Purusha Sukta's prayers, or Purusha Sukta confirmed. This is Lord Brahma explaining his position and his activity. When Lord Brahma was performing austerities, and he couldn't see anything because everything was dark all around. And then it was sort of like a crash training. He didn't really know what he was supposed to do and what was going on. And then he heard the transcendental sound of ta pa. These two syllables, ta pa, which means penance or austerity. So the basis of spiritual life is sacrifice. And so sacrifice meaning that we have to work to be able to qualify ourselves for the ultimate goal, which is our relationship with this, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So not only the devotees are performing these austerities in the material world, also the non-devotees are performing many types of sacrifices. Like, for example, let's say, for example, the Prime Minister of India, he was brought up in a humble household, and I believe his father was a tea teller or selling tea on the streets like that. And so he was. So obviously he had a very very simple childhood, and then he became interested in spiritual life. I believe he was supposed to take sannyas, but as he was a brahmachari, and then he was married shortly. And he started. I don't know his bio data, but he took up politics, and then the rest is history. He was a governor for Gujarat for many years, and he performed many sacrifices for for his countrymen. And he endeavored very, very very powerfully, was able to meet a lot of goals, and obtain a lot of results, and then ultimately he ran for, I guess, for his present post as the Prime Minister, and he's doing a lot of work like that. So the main point is that nothing happens by chance, and everyone has to work and sacrifice in this world. But the devotees, they do it for Krishna. The Prime Minister, he's very favorable. Everyone knows when he took office, he did a lot of traveling, and he gave they weren't all Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita's, he gave to the ex Prime Minister of Australia, he gave a Bhagavad Gita, and to the President of China and the Emperor of Japan and the Prime Minister of Japan, and then to Obama. I think to President Obama he gave it wasn't Prabhupada's Gita, but anyhow, he gave him. I think it was, what was it? Which version? Do you remember which one? I think it was the one that Gandhi, yeah, the Bhagavad Gita that Gandhi read was some impersonal kind of translation. But anyhow, so the point is that Lord Brahma here, he's trying to get the universe started, and so he's undergoing the sacrifice of austerity, and also in the purport, Prabhupada is explaining that in the Vedic culture, there's different sacrifices, like animal sacrifices. Of course, in different cultures, they have some concocted, like human sacrifice. In the animal sacrifice, the priests they had to be qualified priests in order to perform the sacrifice, so that the animal could get a new body. The old, unusable body would be discarded, and the animal would actually obtain a fresh body like that, giving him new life. So then Prabhupada explains about explains the Bhagavad Gita verse, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Mata Sarvam Pravartate. Krishna explains that everything is coming from him. Everything is, all the material and spiritual planets are emanating from him. So, Lord Brahma, he's in charge of creation of the material universe where we are right now. And so he's also in charge of that type of creation, of the creation of the planetary systems and different planets and satellites. Then Prabhupada explains about the impersonalists that argue that there's no use in worshiping the Lord, because everything is the Lord. It's all one. There was one incident in Boston when Prabhupada went to America, and he had a university engagement in Boston, and there was one Indian so-called scientist or whatever, and he challenged Prabhupada that everything is one, that there's no difference between anything created in the creation. And so Prabhupada said, well, then Prabhupada was actually pretty very, very angry, and he was actually shouting at this Indian teacher or professor. And Prabhupada said to him, so if everything is one, then what did he say? He said that that there's no difference between your tie and a ball of cotton, so why don't you just wear a ball of cotton instead of wearing that tie or something. And or there's another example that also in Boston, Giriraj Maharaj, when he was a brahmachari, they were doing Harinam, and they would collect donations in a conch shell. And I think they approached one person, and the person, he was going to give a donation or something, and then somehow or other, he opened his wallet, and he had his whole week's pay. And so, I don't know if they tricked him, but anyhow, he gave his whole week pay, his whole paycheck. And then later on, he had second thoughts, and he went back to them and said, I need some of the money back. And so they said that, because he was saying that he was actually sort of impersonal himself, and but he gave a donation, and then they said no. It's not all one. If it's all one, then it's your money or our money is all one. So therefore, then your money is my money. Or actually, you can't reason, because your logic is that everything is one. So everything is one. So then you've already given us our money, because if our money is your money and your money is our money, so you've already given us your money. I mean our money, something like that. So the impersonalists argued like this that. That actually doesn't matter if you worship nature, if you worship the personal form of the Lord, everything is the same. But actually, we understand that we're the same as the Lord in quality, not in quantity. So there's the drop of the salt water, and there's the ocean of the salt water, and the chemical composition is the same. But the quantity is different, so there's a difference between the supreme soul and the super soul and the individual soul, the Brahman and the Parabrahman, or the Atma and the Paramatma. So there's that. That's the status. So then Prabhupada explains about the personalist, he utilizes the ingredients supplied by material nature, such as flowers and fruits and incense and water. And all these things are coming from nature, and we're offering it back to the supreme original source of that nature, Krishna. And similarly in India, if you go to the Ganges, you'll see the devotees of worship, followers of Mother Ganges. They'll take bath, and then they'll scoop up some of the water from the Ganges, and they'll offer it in the direction of the Ganges, and then the water will fall down back into the river. So it's and then there's also people who are also performing different kinds of yoga, like worshiping the sun, for example. They offer a lamp to the sun or whatever. But actually, the real purpose of worship is to be directed to the Supreme Person, Krishna, not to the demigods or anything like that. And of course, the Ganga is a servant of Mother Ganges, is a servant of the Lord. So that's. We don't worship the demigods, but we respect the demigods. And similarly, the Ganges is worshipable because she's a servant of the Lord. But we understand that just as the Ganges is a servant of the Lord, then the worship that we offer is directed ultimately to the Lord in that sense. So, with gratitude, everything that we do it in the service of Krishna. And Krishna, he doesn't need any of our offerings or any of our worship, because Krishna is he's self-sufficient. But he accepts our bhakti and our love. Just like, for example, in a household, you'll have the mother and the father and the children. And if it's, for example, it's let's say it happens to be the father's birthday, so the mother will give the child some money to buy a birthday present for the father, and the father doesn't need anything because the money is coming from him anyhow. But when he sees that his son offers him with love a gift, although the source of that gift, namely the money, is coming from the father anyhow, so because the son is offering it with love, then the father will accept that gift, even if it's like, let's say, you mentioned the example of the tie. If you have the father, he probably has many ties, and he doesn't need another tie. And if he did need it, he could buy it himself. But just the fact that his son is offering it to him, he may not need the tie, but he needs the love coming from his son. He accepts that offering from his son that's given to him in love. So that's the idea. So by this recognition we're indebted to the source of everything, namely the Supreme Lord, then by offering everything that we do and everything that we think or speak, by offering that in love back to the Supreme Lord, then that enhances our relationship with the Lord, and we make advancement more progressively on the progressive path back to the spiritual world, like that. Yeah, another thing is that the impersonalists, or not the impersonalists, like for example, some followers of Jesus Christ, their misunderstanding that Jesus and the Lord are one. They say that Jesus is actually God Himself. But that's a misconception. Prabhupada explains that just like we also we're also Krishna, but the difference is that we're one in purpose, just like Jesus Christ. He's one with God in purpose. He's not God because he's not the Father. He's the Son. It takes two to tango, I guess you'd say. The Father and the Son, they can be one in purpose, but they can't be two. They can't be one individual person. They're two individuals that share the same purpose. So they're, in that sense, the Son and the Father are one. So we're also sons and daughters of Krishna, and we're one in purpose with Krishna. In quality, we're the same in quality, but we're also individual. There's the Shakti and the Shaktiman. the supreme energy, and then there's the energetic source. The energy and the energetic source, they're both existing. One cannot exist without the other. So we also cannot exist without Krishna, and Krishna, believe it or not, cannot exist without us either. The more we approach Krishna with love and devotion, then Krishna becomes more satisfied. Krishna is more satisfied with our intense love than, for example, with awe and reverence. Like, for example, today we're going to see the king of Norway, and most citizens of Norway, they will adore the king with great awe and respect and reverence and like that. And the king, he likes that because that's his job. But he also has other preferences or other relationships, namely with his family and his close friends. And he has different circles of friends and different types of relationships with businessmen. He has different relationships with different politicians. He has relationships with so many different people. And then relationships with his inner family and his inner circle. That's much more intimate like that. So although the king, he will be giving his darshan to all the Norwegians today with love, but he has a special kind of love for his family, which is natural like that. So Krishna, we have a special relationship with Krishna, which is now covered over, but by practicing bhakti yoga and chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then we're coming closer and closer, and the more we come closer, then the more intimate that relationship will develop. So Prabhupada explains in the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita the five indirect rasas and the seven indirect rasas, which are the five main rasas are as madhurya, vatsalya, sakya, dasya, and shant. And the last one, shanta, is we don't necessarily follow the neutral relationship. The neutral relationship is there, but we're more interested in a personal relationship, which is not neutral. So therefore, we can develop our relationship with Krishna in a conjugal way, or in a friendship, or as a servant, or as a parent, or as a son, like that. In the Catholic religion, there's different denominations, like Mother Teresa. In that specific denomination, they worship Jesus as their husband. And in another Catholic denomination, they worship Jesus as a baby. Like in India, many bhaktas, they worship Ladu Gopal, or Krishna, the butter thief, as a baby, Krishna as a baby. So different people have different attractions to the Lord, as a parent, as a servant, as a lover, like that. So we're meant to develop that relationship more and more. And then the seven indirect relationships are anger, laughter, horror, different, I can't remember all of them.
Chivalry.
Chivalry, like that. Like the Mahabharata, everything is about fighting and everything like that. So Krishna, he likes to he likes to fight also. Krishna, he fights with the cowherd boys, he fights with the gopis, and in the form of Varahadev, he's fighting with Hiranyaksha, and like that. And so Krishna, he has different moods, and all the different moods, they have different intensities also. So, and the highest is in the conjugal, which is the Madhurya Rasa. So generally, most of our acharyas are in Madhurya Rasa, but we have many examples also of Sakya and Vatsalya and like that. So this is the goal, is to develop our relationship with Krishna more by chanting Hare Krishna, and also by following the previous acharyas and the guru, sadhu, and shastra, and by preaching, by inviting other people into the dancing party of Krishna. Is Krishna, he dances with the cowherd boys, and he also dances with the gopis. So and on the altar we see Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they're dancing. So actually Krishna consciousness is simply eating, chanting, and dancing. Very simple philosophy.
Jai
Shishi Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Shishi Gauridai Ki Jai. So if there's any questions or comments or arguments, yes?
Is there any difference if we serve our related, the wife, husband, or husband, as a service for Krishna and serving for deities in the temple?
Difference between serving family and relatives and difference between serving the deities?
Yeah, but both for Krishna.
For Krishna. Oh, that's a good question. One time when Prabhupada's disciple, she wanted to serve Krishna. I'm sorry, she wanted to do deity worship at the expense of her child. In other words, she told Prabhupada that she wanted to do more deity worship. And Prabhupada said that child worship is more important than deity worship. Because the child is... He's alive. Like, the deities are also alive, but we have to take care of our family also. And of course, individual cases will be there, and so you have to consult with that. So it's not cut and dry. But basically, the preaching is there's the Pancharatrika Vidhi and the Bhagavad Vidhi, and we basically would put more importance on the Bhagavad Vidhi, which is not so much the deity worship. But the deity worship is also necessary. Prabhupada explains that there's two tracks to a railroad. The train runs on two tracks. You can't have the train running only on one track. There's two tracks like that. So we have to be practical. And the deity worship is important because it helps one to focus like that. So it's an individual thing. So different situations are there, but we have to be practical also. Hare Krishna. Yeah.
I have one point about this impersonal, because impersonal, they have no relationship with Krishna,
right,
and they don't accept this, and that's why they are not accepting our scripture also. But in Bhagavad Gita it says that if you don't follow scripture, then you are not happy in this life, and you will not be in next life.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So impersonal, they are not accepting this because they have no relation with Krishna.
Right, and they're from
they are not happy.
They're not happy. Yeah, yeah. We in the modern society, the atheistic people, they want to help society. They want to be humanists, human without God. But that's like trying to take one of the railroad tracks away, and think that the train is going to be able to go like before, like without two tracks. So you have to have two tracks. And Krishna, he understands that not everyone is in the same boat. So there are people that are more inclined to impersonalism, and Krishna provides that facility because that's their desire, that's their ichcha. Prabhupada explains in the purport in the Gita, he says it's from the scriptures, that Krishna gives us the intelligence to go to heaven, and he gives us the intelligence to go to hell. So
they like our prasadam.
Yes, that's our secret weapon, kitchen religion. Yeah.
You said in India they worship Gopal, but how much I heard that Krishna is not worshipped alone. Is that right?
I'm sorry.
Alone, he's not worshipped alone, like as a murti, like always, like.
Your question is whether it's proper that Krishna is worshipped alone or not?
Yeah, because you said that they worship Gopal in India, so the murti is just Gopal, yeah? So is it okay to worship murti, which is just Krishna there? No Radha, no Baladeva Subhadra?
Yeah, Krishna is always with his. He's always. He's never alone. That's your point.
No, I bought it from the India also.
That's a political question. Because that's actually the Ladu Gopal comes from Gujarat, huh?
No, it is not Ladu Gopal. Punjabi, they are worshipping very
Punjab.
Much Ladu Gopal.
Right.
But in Gujarat,
but
they have Kshitir Margi.
Right. But it's not Gaudiya Vaishnav. It's not Gaudiya Vaishnav. They're Vaishnav. They're Vaishnav.
Yeah. They're Vaishnav, but these other sampradayas.
Right. It's different. It's a different school. Like, you're correct that Krishna is never alone. We prefer... Just like Lord Chaitanya is with Nityananda, and Jagannath is with Baladeva and Subhadra, and Krishna Balaram are together, etc. Like that. And sometimes you see pictures of Krishna alone, or with a cow, or with a peacock. But specifically, your question is about only Krishna like that. So that's the point. Is that in ISKCON? We have a policy that we don't worship Ladu Gopal. Although there are temples, like in Radhakund, they have the ISKCON temple in Radhakund has a Ladu Gopal deity. And some, I'm sure there's other temples also, but our general policy is that we don't worship. And your point is actually very good, because he's by himself. He's alone like that. Yeah, that's a very good point. Krishna he's just like the king. The king is not alone. The king has, not only does he have his family, but he has all his ministers. Like, and today we're going to see the king, and he's going to,
you won't see him.
No, I want to to see
they
him.
Have glory.
But we can see him on television or something like that. So, yeah, so Gopal, Ladu Gopal, actually there's some, you're asking me because you bought one deity?
I don't think it's just like metal work.
You have one, yeah?
Yeah,
you have
not
one.
Metal work, it's
ceramic.
Yeah.
Anyhow, my suggestion, if you like, is that you can, when you go to India again, you can try to find because they do make them also. They make a baby Radharani also. Mm. So if you can find a baby Radharani, then he'll be happy. Krishna will be very happy. That's my suggestion. Other, you know, if you can't find a baby Radharani, then you should have some cows and some peacocks and like that. But they do make, if you look hard, you might find, because you can see there are deities of Radharani in like baby form also. So that's my suggestion. So, yes.
Sometimes some devotees, they worship their own deities, you know, and some don't. And some have them in the room, they have some come here, they have their deities. What is
That's you have to have permission to worship deities, especially if they're installed deities, or Shalagram or Govardhan. You can't just, I mean, you can have a picture also, a photograph. There's nothing wrong. This private worship. Actually, it's necessary because, like I said, to help us focus like that. So you might not be able to visit the temple or whatever like that all the time. So then you have to have some kind of focus. So that's recommended that you Lord Chaitanya and Gornitai deities, they don't need installation. These deities are not installed. The GBC. because the common people, they need a show. They want to see something that is like, you know, official, and it has to be like, you know, pomp and circumstance. For the Vaidhi Seven Bhaktis, they need the rules and regulations. Actually, even the liberated souls, they don't reject the rules and regulations. The liberated souls, someone who's liberated, he doesn't reject, but he accepts what is favorable for his sadhana, and he rejects what is not favorable. For example, I have two dhotis, and Amoga, he'll have four dhotis. Now he might need four dhotis because he's on the altar or whatever, or it's in the summertime. You know, you sweat a lot, and if he's very busy or whatever, he needs more than two dhotis because, you know, he has to change and like that. So, you know, different people have different standards, but the thing is that can you ask the question again?
What is the difference between installed and deities?
Oh, installed deities, yeah. So, yeah, the deity actually the Krishna, he doesn't need installing. When you say Hare Krishna, Krishna's there. Of course, your purity may be different. So if you're actually chanting the pure name, he's there. He's definitely there. But if you're not chanting the pure name, maybe he's not there. So, therefore, generally speaking, deities, they're installed according to very specific mantras and rules and regulations are there for that reason, like that. So in ISKCON temples, generally we have all the rules and regulations for the cater to the lowest common denominator. Every individual devotee will have different levels of advancement like that. So we have to take everything into account so that we can have like an equal distribution of facility for everyone. So we want everyone to come to Krishna. So therefore the rules and regulations are there so that it's not just anarchy like that. So if you have anarchy, then so there has to be some kind of organization. They asked Prabhupada that why does religion have to be organized? And I'm just referring to Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada said, organization is good. Of course, Prabhupada rejected bureaucracy. See, Prabhupada said that when bureaucracy comes in, then everything is lost. So not that we become like bureaucrats and, you know, everything, like that. There has to be some freedom also, like that. So, but there has to be rules and regulations. Just like you don't raise a child and not let him and not make him go to school. You don't keep him at home until he's 21 years old. He has to go to school, otherwise he'll become an animal. You know, he just won't have any training. So the training is there. Just like Krishna and Balaram, they went to school, to the school of Sandipani Muni. They didn't just stay home and play all day. They, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they put him in school. So we also have to go through the same thing. We have to have proper training like that. So does that answer your question a little bit?
I understand that when they open the
Krishna Balaram
in Vrindavan,
right,
that we needed Brahmins.
Yeah, that was for show.
That's for show.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's good. It's because just like because there's one we can do something technical, or we can just speculate also. But you won't have the same result. Like in a scientific experiment, you have to have the the conclusion, and then before the conclusion, there's the
antithesis and the test and the synthesis.
Right, right. So you can't just say the conclusion is this. No, you have to go through the process like that. So. Like that. Yeah, Krishna and Balaram, they studied 64 arts. And he's God. What does he have to go to school for? He just to show by example that we also have to go to school. Krishna didn't have to go to school. Lord Chaitanya didn't have to go to school. But they did that. So we also have to follow like that. Krishna, he one of the things that he studied of the 64 arts was hairdressing. Now, why on earth did Krishna learn how to what? Yeah. Why? I don't know. And another thing that they learned was playing musical instruments. Like they would get different pots, different sized pots, clay pots, and they put water in, and each pot had different levels of water, so to produce a different sound. Ding, 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 ding. You know, I don't know why, but, you know, it's part of the 64 arts that Krishna and Balaram, they learned in the school of Sandipani Muni. So we shouldn't imitate, but we should follow. And if, you know, some kind of guideline is there, that's good, because every, you know, there should be some kind of organization or some kind of design. Otherwise, if there's no design, like this, the atheists say that there's no intelligent design. But that's ridiculous. Everything is logically, nature is full of variety. It's not all nothing. There's so many different forms of life and different forms of living and everything. So it's all coming from a supreme consciousness. It's not just, you know, we also have our intelligence that we've developed throughout our whole life. As we're not animals, like we, the humans, differentiate ourselves from the animals, from, because we have a higher developed consciousness, which is meant for self-realization and reconnecting with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So different people, some devotees like to cook, some devotees like to distribute books, some devotees, so Krishna, he appreciates all these different services. Anything else? Should we end here? Okay.
No, we just, it's little schedule. We're over schedule.
Oh, we're over time, sorry. Okay, Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Gaur Pramandi Hari Hari Mo.
Jai Jai Jai.